You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex.
Hello, Dr. Eve.
Hi, you see this? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Now you can. Hello. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How was the past 7 days?
My past 7 days have been very exciting. They always are exciting. My life is exciting because I make it exciting. I tell you what was the most exciting thing for me this week.
Yes.
Was two things. I launched my first podcast on a new app, which is called MindSail. Here I'm plugging it.
MindSail.
Yeah. There's a huge, huge push. I was just listening to Dion driving in. Technologically, there is a huge push towards mental health apps. And I have been invited, and I'm now part of a mental health app called MindSail. So I've put my podcast just went live on cyber infidelity and contemporary intimacy. So very excited about that.
So how does one get hold of that?
You just download the app, MindSail.
MindSail, okay.
And yeah, it's a fantastic app about sleep and anxiety and depression and about stress and mindfulness and meditation. It's very, you know, this is the thing where corporates are actually buying up these apps and handing them out to their employees and saying, get some mindfulness, get some sleep hygiene, learn about relationships as you're coming in and commuting to work. So this is a real big trend that's happening. So I'm really excited to be part of that. And then the other big thing which happened for me was that I did a little insert with Bruce Whitfield on The Money Show this week.
Were you cheating on me?
I kind of kept it in family. And it was really interesting, you know, to look at the commercial financial side of my business in 2 minutes, and my responses were very different. And I think what has led to it, which is really exciting, is that on Monday Bruce has invited me to be his guest on The Money Show. So listening to that, well, you're going to learn about Dr. Eve and money.
Great. That is awesome.
Which is incredibly revealing.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of is incredibly, you know, sexuality, money, they go together, and it's incredibly revealing.
And that's a very popular segment of your show as well. So that's very, very cool. Cool. Definitely.
Yeah,
I'm going to be listening. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So I should ask you how your week has been, but I guess it's been...
also is exciting, but you know how it is. You know, radio is just such incredible passion. So yeah, I've had a great week, to be honest. Good week at gym. Lovely Valentine's Day. Yeah, can't really complain.
Thank you. I love to have this little therapy session. Somebody actually said to me the other day, they're loving our relationship. And it's like, seriously, do we have a relationship?
Yes. We probably do. And I suspect that they probably are voyeurs. So maybe they're also in the relationship.
We have got a South African relationship. So this week, and I'm asking people, please do not turn off the radio when you hear us say condoms and STIs. Do not do that. You know, don't go into silence and think, okay, we're in fatigue around this. We don't want to talk about this. What more is there to say about it? This is condom and STI week, and I felt compelled to have to raise the discussion around condoms and STIs. Some solutions always welcome from our listeners. I do want to know, you know, things like what impact it does have on you. But I thought what was most interesting and caught my attention this year around it, which I didn't know before somehow, is that Condom Week begins on Valentine's Day. And I thought, why isn't that spoken enough about?
Mm.
It's so smart that we recognize that Valentine's Day has the pressure, and I'd say that deliberately, to be having this kind of sexual activity that perhaps couples haven't had for a long time, and then comes Valentine's Day and there's enormous pressure to be doing that. And then where is the condom? You know, let me work with a company who sells flowers and put condoms into every bunch of flowers that is bought on Valentine's Day. You know, would people be open to such a thing? They have so many interventions, and there's so much research that's done into looking at how can we make people use condoms more in a more significant way, in a more, a consistent, what we call correctly and consistent way.
Dr. Eve, so is there research on condom use in general?
Yeah, there is quite dismal research in general. How do we know about condom use is really looking at the increase of HIV and STI numbers, which just keep going up. You know, our government is really proud to say, oh, our numbers are down. But that's because there's fantastic rollout of interventions of ARVs, which is what brings the numbers down. But it's not. It's increasing all the time. In our country, I mean, Eusebius, you probably know this. How many people at this moment are living with HIV? Do you have an idea?
Jeez, you stumped me there. I don't know what the actual number is.
7 million are living with HIV in South Africa. That was in 2015. This is the newest stats I could get. And there are 380,000 new infections, while 180,000 South Africans died in 2015 from AIDS-related illnesses.
Mm.
So we just have to look at that number. What I'm more interested in and is STIs. HIV is an STI, but I think that we do not talk about STIs sufficiently, and that's why I really did want us to do this show as well, is to bring into awareness around the incredible high number of STIs that are that we sit in within our country. And they, who they're impacting, there are 19 million sexually transmitted infections, with young people accounting for almost half of them, ages 15 to 24 years old. That's, you know, a huge amount of people. And those are just people who have gone for tests and have been actually diagnosed. Clinically, we don't encourage people just to go for a test, because most people will find that they've got HSV, they've got herpes simplex virus. And what are you going to do about that then? It becomes incredibly difficult. So
that number seems incredibly high to me. Which geography are we talking about? South Africa? Or the world?
19 million, the world. 19 million sexually transmitted infections.
Over what period of time, Dr. Eve? Or what period,
over,
rather?
This was a bit of research. I can't do the hyperlink right now. This is young people ages 15. This is the most. Well, this is just like the usual bit of research, or the number that is given out.
So it's AIDS bracket 15 to 24.
Yeah,
that accounts for almost half of those.
Of the,
so is
the,
I mean, the core of this, I assume, is condom usage or
use
lack
a condom.
Thereof.
Use a condom, which is why we're talking about condoms and STIs. I'm just bringing in to segue into this conversation. I don't want us to be talking about STIs specifically unless people want to, but it's really about, here is a simple piece of latex. We have a solution, yet why are we not using it?
When well, let's ask our listeners. I mean, you know, do you use condoms? If you don't, why might you not? Where do you buy them? Do you struggle to get hold of them? Is there still a taboo around purchasing them? Got questions for Dr. Eve? Just share your experiences on 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. I would love to know what attitudes are towards condoms.
Yeah, so the usual attitudes, which is where people just shut down the radio or shut me out their heads, is I'm married, and this is always me fascinating. I always give out condoms and lubes whenever I'm doing workshopping or talking to people. And a few weeks ago, I was out of town doing group with a group of men, and I gave them a packet with their condoms and their lubes, and they all happened to be married. And what did they do? There was one person in the group who was not married. Mm. They all gave their condoms to him. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Why? So that's one of the reasons. I'm married. The other one is I'm monogamous, or I'm celibate, or I live in a sexless relationship, so I really don't need to use a condom. Then there is the justifications. They break. They're unsafe. And then the new ones that come through is that female condoms suck. Or I'm circumcised, I don't need to use a condom anymore, I'm on ARVs, or I'm on PrEP. And this is very contentious, because we know that if you're circumcised, if you're on ARVs, and if you're on PrEP, the chances of you becoming infected with HIV are minimal. But you're still going to get an STI if you are not using a condom.
Are all of those reasons that you just listed bad reasons? Because one of them seemed to be fair.
Which one seems to be fair to you?
I'm celibate.
Ah! This is what people say. It's like, you know, I'm celibate. And then you go out.
Unless they're lying. I mean, assuming they're not lying.
They may be celibate in their relationship, Eusebius, but they're kind of online chatting, or else they're traveling overseas and they happen to be in a bar and they feel really sorry for the hookers in Thailand, and they say, well, I need to spend some money and take care of them. And that's where the sex is happening, or hiring a sex worker. So you may be celibate in your relationship. And how do we know this? Because, you know, I do research into infidelity, and we know, all of us, how high the numbers of infidelity are. So you may be saying, I'm celibate and I'm in a sexless relationship, but you could very well still be at risk for being sexual elsewhere. And then you may have that drunken one-night situation where you end up being sexual with your partner, and you're unprotected and you're unsafe. And I mean, who would have the absolute, I don't know, courage to negotiate an awkward situation of not being sexual for months at a time, and then having one encounter middle of the night or some kind of wedding or funeral situation, and the emotions are high, you get together, and you're not going to negotiate a condom at that point. So I'm being empathetic. I'm sounding like I'm being harsh, but I'm really empathetic in that people struggle to use condoms. It is a tough call to, in that moment of sexual excitement and anticipation and fun and joy, to say, stop and let's use a condom. And I'd love to know people's experiences of how those who successfully do it, teach us how you do it.
Okay, we've got one caller on the line who can perhaps do that. We've got Michael in Benoni, Dr. Eve. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Dr. Eve. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Michael. Go ahead. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Yes. I find it rather a bit difficult, really, amongst people who are married. I mean, what is, like, because issues of trust and other issues are going to prop up there. Why do you want to ask that to misuse condoms now? We have been together, we're married and all that. Is there something that you're doing outside there that you want to use condom with me and all that? I mean, practically, it creates all those kind. I don't know, maybe we can break it down to racial groupings or what. I don't know, but in essence, it's really, the question will always be there. What, maybe we have kids and we've been married and you know that type of, what do you call, couple who's church going, and then all of a sudden I want to use condom with my, I mean, really, it's going to be difficult. I mean, how do we explain that, Dr. Ape? I'll listen on the radio.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's such a beautiful, beautiful question, and please, it kicked us off because it's such a common concern that people have, the trust issue. My response to that is, Michael, what I think the difficult conversation is talking about sexuality. Full stop. People don't like to talk about sexuality. So if you present a condom, it immediately goes to fear and it goes to a sense of anxiety and distrust, as Michael says. If you're in a relationship which is healthy, and if you're able to have conversations, and if you're able to feel confident about talking about sexuality as an adult, this should not be a difficult thing to talk about. If you're in a trusting relationship and you feel safe with yourself, to be able to say to your partner, I'm feeling that we need to be using condoms because of sexual health. I just feel that this is something which is important. We don't know, and this is vital, you see, this is that people do not know that they can be asymptomatic for years, and then something triggers a infection, and the infection will come up, and then people struggle enormously with the distrust issue. So if you start using condoms, immediately from the time you get married, the time you make a commitment, you just say, this is for our sexual health, because we have histories, because there's something that may be lurking that is going to pop up, and we don't want to look at a trust issue down the line in our relationship. That, for me, is way healthier.
See, I was going to ask a follow-up question on behalf of Michael. We've lost him there. You've partly answered it. But I would imagine, let's say Michael is comfortable with his partner to speak openly about sexuality. Mm-hmm. I think he also has a concern about how the conversation would play out in terms of content, Dr. Eve. So it's not just about initiating the conversation. So Michael says to Jenny, you know, why do you want me to use a condom? She says, well, Dr. Eve says we have histories. Maybe we are both asymptomatic and we've been dating for 6 months, but perhaps one of us did something last year. So that's a good reason. And then Michael says, okay, you listen to that clever woman, eh? Fine. Now let's go to the doctor and get a full screening. Off we go to the doctor for a full screening. It turns out that we are STI-free from a medical point of view. Mm-hmm. Now I say to Jenny, okay, now that we've been for screening, we know we're not carrying anything that's asymptomatic even. Can we now stop using condoms?
And sensibly, it would be yes. Of course, stop using condoms. But I'm still going to push the agenda and say, use them.
Don't yes, and the reason I set up that scenario is because at that point, Michael will then be tempted to say to Jenny, "You don't trust me, do you?"
So then we have another issue around a beautiful discussion, an intimate discussion about trust. Well, let's talk about trust. What does it mean in our relationship? How do we establish some boundaries for each other in the relationship? How can we feel safe so that we separate sexual health, because this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about trust. Don't confuse the two. We're talking about sexual health. It's just like any other part of your body needs to be kept healthy. You know, are you going to gym and saying, well, you know, don't you trust me? What am I doing at the gym? Oh, a lot of people do that, really, right? But is it because, you know, there's no trust? This is a healthy activity to be doing. Using a condom is a healthy activity to be doing.
It's James, absolutely. James, welcome. Thanks for your patience.
Yes, you said yes. How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you, James.
Good, good, good. James, my question is directed to Dr. Sharma. I'm phoning with regards to herpes simplex virus. Say, for instance, a couple, one partner brings herpes into the house, and one day they go for testing, and they find out they have herpes simplex virus, and they want to eradicate it. What is the perfect medication and the duration to actually remove it from the two patients?
Thanks, James. Dr. Sharma, can you help, James?
Sure. So, I'm going to become Dr. E for a little while. And James, HSV, very sadly, is a virus. It's herpes simplex virus. Mm-hmm. And what it means if you have a virus is that you cannot eradicate it. It's not a, it's manageable, it's treatable, but you're not going to be able to eradicate it. So there are different kinds of STIs. Some of them are bacteria and the other are viruses. So your gonorrhea, your syphilis are bacteria, so you just go and you get a shot and you get yourself taken care of if you get it in time. And then the other ones like HPV, human papillomavirus, and HSV, genital warts, they are viruses that stay in your system for life. And they are the ones that are kind of sneaky because they sit there and only when you're under stress or there's something going down in your life or another illness or immune deficiency, do they pop up and bite you in the ass. So that's why, you know, condoms are great. Okay. Is this a difficult thing for you to talk about with your partner?
No. We both discuss it, but take medication. But obviously, we don't know how it reappears.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yes.
It's kind of random, hey?
Yes, we take medication maybe for a month, Valitrex,
right?
And
right.
Then after 3 weeks or 4 weeks, then it reappears.
Yes. So it's really irritating and it's happening too frequently.
Sometimes it can be due to friction of a private part or you know, never know what's the cause there.
Because
definitely the cause is not from the both partners. It's maybe something else.
Yeah, these outbreaks are random and they are inconsistent and unpredictable. I would suggest to you that if you could go to a clinic. I know that in Cape Town we have got, you know, the best clinic in the world, which is Health for Men. I think there may be a branch in Johannesburg. If you get to a clinic for men, they only manage STIs and HIV, and they will really be able to assess you and get you onto treatment or get you to manage yourself better so that you're not having such constant outbreaks all the time, James. So go to a specialized clinic. That's what I'm saying to you.
Thanks, James. Thanks for calling in, eh? Tubbo on Tableview. Hello, Tubbo.
Are you serious?
Go ahead, Tubbo. What is your question?
You're serious? I just came out of a long-term relationship and without using condoms. And I'm back in the market, and I find that when I try to use a condom, the penis almost goes limp. It could be something in the mind, or I'm not sure what it is, but then the minute you take it off, which is now a bit riskier, then you get your full erection. Is there research around that?
It's a very good question, Tubbo. Many men report that anecdotally.
Absolutely. Anecdotally is correct. And then there was a bit of research that was done about 2 years ago. They called it erectile dysfunction, condom use erectile dysfunction. And they did research into this. It actually, no, it doesn't exist. So we got to get rid of this new dysfunction as a dysfunction. So Tubbo, it's common, very, very common, as Eusebius says, that men will report this happening. It's a combination of psychological factors. In other words, what that research showed is that it's not a sexual dysfunction. Mm. It's not that you suddenly have got erectile dysfunction. You're not sexually dysfunctional. But as you've identified, there is something going on in your head, which is probably called anxiety, that is just, you know, difficult to manage. If one thinks about why erections do go limp generally, it's because the is an inability for men to manage the excitement and the anxiety that they have to when they get into a sexual space, and anxiety wins over, and then the erection just goes down. So, Tubbo, what I would recommend for you is practice when you are alone. Use a bit of lube and put a bit of lube into the tip of the condom and just practice getting erections and rolling on a condom. And I know it's going to be different when you're with a partner, but practice on your own so you get your confidence up.
Okay, but then isn't there some sort of specialized condoms? Maybe it's something to do with the feeling? Is there condoms that you could recommend that are more with the actual feeling?
You mean one that's kind of really thin, that's not going to feel cumbersome
sure,
for you?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, there is definitely, in every range of condoms, there is a light. It's called light, which is like very, it's like they call it close to skin, and that it feels skin, like skin on skin. So you could do that. You also, for a while, could, if it is a female partner, encourage her to use a female condom so you could just get confident with this person. You know, there are always relationship overlays that are going down, and maybe because you're new on the market as well, you're going to need to get some confidence and some sexual social skills back again. So just be kind to yourself. Don't be anxious. Don't turn away. I always say to me, you know, the thing that is most off-putting for a partner is when a man just turns away in so much shame and guilt. Stay with it. Just endure that feeling of, okay, so the erection's gone, but carry on getting aroused. Just keep yourself getting aroused, and then, voila, you're going to be able to roll that condom on.
Okay. Thank you, doctor.
Thanks, Thabo. Thanks so much for calling in. Richard in West Dean, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to share my experience, please.
Go ahead, Richard.
Olive leaf extract in copious amounts really do the trick for herpes. Olive leaf extract.
So is that what you've been using, Richard?
Well, and other people. I help, you know. It is olive leaf extract is magic. It's recognized, thousands of papers on it. It's something worth considering.
So you use it, do you swallow it, or do you use it on the outbreak?
You swallow it orally, yes.
Oh, and you find that it's minimized your outbreaks?
And not only that, it eradicates it eventually. Yeah.
It eradicates the virus?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay,
for viral infections.
Yeah, you know, there's so many products on the market, and I'm quite...
Yeah, this is not one of the so many. This is serious stuff, much neglected.
Okay. I'm still going to be transparent and say that unless you can give me a whole lot of good clinical research around it, I couldn't endorse something like
Absolutely.
That at all.
702 and Cape Talk.
Talking sex. Are we talking about STIs and also about condom use? Where do you buy your condoms? Is it difficult for you to buy them? Do you still get, as one person tweeted, I saw Dr. Eve also notice their tweet, that you get stared at when you go to pick and pay or you go and buy them. What are your habits when it comes to condom usage? Is it difficult to obtain them? Are they expensive? Can you find ones that you can actually afford? Give us a call on 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Lungile tweets, how awkward was that call before breaking into news updates? I'm not so sure whether it's awkward. Why is it awkward?
The olive leaf one.
Oh, I thought she was talking about the one where the guy says that he loses his
erections. Oh, yeah. I wonder which one. I don't think anything's awkward. I think
no, exactly. Yeah, I think it's very important. And if someone is having a question or a thought, chances are many other people, or a significant minority at least, are also thinking of it. We do have a couple of callers on the line, Dr. Eve. Let's go to Duren Fontaine. Hello, George.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I'm having a problem with condom. When always I use condom, I always have that is heat on my private. And when I take it out, it's like I had a blister on my private.
So, George...
So I don't know what is happening.
Do you have the blister there when you don't use the condom, or does it only pop up when you put the condom on?
No, when I use the condom,
yeah.
Then I make up love, and then when I take it out, I discover that I got like a blister on my private, and then after that I'm feeling too hot.
So either way, it could be that you're allergic to latex. That could be one thing, because most condoms are latex. You do get latex-free condoms. The other thing is that you may just have this this genital wart, and it just pops up when there's any kind of pressure or heat on it.
Mm.
And that's when it exposes itself to you. So I would really love for you to get to a clinic, as I said earlier, which specializes in STIs, and find out what it is. I mean, first of all, well done that you're using a condom. I'm hearing the discomfort. What you should try and do in the meantime, before you get to the clinic, is put a bit of lubricant inside the condom and on your penis, and that might give you alleviate some of the irritation that you're feeling.
Okay.
Use lube always with condoms. It really enhances the sensation and makes it just way easier and nicer.
All right, thanks. I'll check.
Please take care of it, yeah. We don't want shame and stigma to be impacting on people's sexual health and preventing them getting the services that they deserve and have a right to.
Thank you, George. Hello, Sammy.
Serious.
Welcome. We can hear you. Go ahead, Sammy. Thanks for calling in today.
Yes, you said you sent an SMS earlier, and this issue of condoms disturbs me very much because it's a very basic issue.
Mm.
But the primary issue is sex. So if we can't talk about the primary issue, how do we talk about the secondary issue, which is a condom? A condom is meant for sex. And if we can't talk about sex, then how do we talk about the condom?
I'm with you, Sammy. You're my man. I totally am with you. That's what I was saying earlier. Mm. People have a difficulty talking about sexuality. It's not a judgmental statement. I mean, do you find that as well in your experience, that it's difficult to talk about sexuality?
No, in my experience, it's quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about sex comfortably, so, because I'm comfortable in my own skin and with my partner as well. And I find that it works. It's actually arouses us because we can talk about it. You know, the sexual tool is the mind. So once we start talking, then we get it on. No pun intended.
and you're able to get on the condom.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. Okay, well, this is a great tip. This is a great tip that you're sharing with us, and we did ask for that. So thanks, Sammy. You're explaining how to do that, and I'm with you 100%, but that is the most difficult thing to do, is to talk about sexuality and talk about needs and to define boundaries. One of the things that the research shows, and which is just such a big, big issue in our 2017, actually, Eusebius, is the definition of what relationship status that you're in, definition of intimacies.
Mm.
You know, people are unsure whether they're dating or whether they're in a relationship or whether they're committed, or is this a closed relationship or an open relationship? And because of that, condom usage is just very neglected and very sidelined, because it's like, okay, so I'm with you or I'm not with you, and I'm not going to use a condom with you, or I think I'm with you. So for me, the most important thing is that people kind of get to define, which is also very difficult, are we casually involved? Are we going to be what's called sexually fluid with each other? Are we going to always use condoms? It's kind of some, if you are somebody who's not in a committed relationship, just really make sure you're allowed to say that. You know, please use condoms with other people, or we're always going to use condoms with me.
Mm.
Just be very clear around that.
I wanted to ask you a question about STIs other than HIV, because HIV, rightly and understandably, gets a lot of discussion when we do talk about STIs.
And money.
Yes, and money. What are the levels of prevalence in sexually active South Africans or citizens in general when it come to other STIs? I mean, I remember when I was a student in England, Dr. Yee, for example, HIV didn't dominate public health discussions around STIs. It was a chlamydia epidemic.
Yes,
and
yes.
And they have specialized STI clinics. I mean, I hear your advice to the second last caller to get professional help, potentially. Mm. And sometimes, of course, many South Africans don't like their interactions with some of our public health officials who moralize. And what was wonderful about living in England, obviously a better resource country in many respects, is that you have specialized, firstly, STI clinics. And so you have staff that whose job description leads to deal with this on a full-time basis. But also HIV wasn't the only horrible game in town, that there was good public awareness around things like chlamydia, for example.
Absolutely. There is an outbreak of chlamydia right now in men as well as in women. This is something that men are not aware of. So this is a huge, huge concern. What I can tell you, and I'm looking through my blog here to give you the stats that you're looking for, besides the 19 million that we spoke about earlier on, is that people who are, this is just about relationships, people, the use of condoms, is that people who are in serious relationships, I'm not answering your question, you see, but I'm going to give this to you. People in serious relationships use condoms 40% of the time, and couples in casual relationships use it 33% of the time. I can just tell you that there is a public global health concern around STIs right now, around the bacterial ones, never mind the viral ones. And it leads to fetal deaths. Mm. It leads to incredible mental health problems and psychological and physical problems. So we need to be very much focused on the impact of STIs rather than just HIV. I'm totally agreeable with you on that.
Here's a question on our SMS line from Chris. Chris writes the following, Dr. Eve. Why is there not adequate discussion and education about condom size and fit? I have an issue with girth, so they are too tight on the circumference, but then too long. That's why I no longer use them.
Very valid point, and that's what the research shows as well, is that people will avoid using them because there is either an imagined or, Chris, I don't mean you, there is a realness around the discomfort of using it. The most popular choice of condoms in the market are Delay, which is in a hope of delaying ejaculation, or extra large size. Now, whether extra large size is because we, and there has been research, and this is African men, have got larger size penises than any other men in the world, or is it because you just imagine or would like to imagine that you have got an extra large size penis? But those are the most popular sales. It's difficult to find, it shouldn't be difficult to find one that fits. At this stage, after companies have been making condoms for so long, they say that they fit all, that it does fit all. They probably are not specialized to your exact length and your exact girth. It probably can be problematic, and it may just cost you money to try them out, to try it as many as you possibly can till you do. So look for an extra large one and see if that's going to make a difference.
I'd love people to also tweet us or SMS us very quickly or pick up the phone. We are going to run out of time because I'm very curious about how easy it is to access condoms. Where do you get your condoms from? Do you find it difficult to get hold of them? And how much do you spend on your condoms? I'd really love to know. I'm asking that question, Dr. Eve, in part because, I mean, I buy condoms from a pharmacy, and they are quite expensive.
Indeed. Absolutely. And why are you buying at the pharmacy when you could be getting them for free from the health department, from any clinic? And you know that the Minister, Erin Mazzolati, just brought out, end of last year, I think, these coloured condoms and these flavoured ones in the hope that people were going to pick them up and use them more. Banana, I think, and strawberry, and all, you know, very pretty looking ones. I don't know if it's made any difference to the uptake of it. But they are expensive to buy. And also what you do, and the reason, not you, but people go into a pharmacy to buy them, is because we actually like brands. So there's a status that's attached to it as well. So you will also buy with condoms, which are called like Rough Rider, which gives you this fantasy and imaginative experience of what you're going to be doing if you're wearing this condom, which is great. It's a great sales point, you know. So people want the brand. That's where their status comes from. So people,
well, related to that, Dr. Eve, are also assumptions, whether it's accurate or not, I don't know, but I mean, I've experienced this over the years myself, is that people just assume that government-issued condoms are of a lower quality. So besides the branding associated with an expensive pack of condoms that cost you upwards of 100 rand for two or three of them, there's also the assumption that government-issued condoms are unreliable, and it doesn't help that we've had historic scandals like, you know, some of these things being stapled together.
Yeah, I think that one needs to get away from that, and it's no longer an excuse. They are good. They're absolutely tested. There's nothing wrong with them, and they're trying. They're really trying to do anything to get people to use them, and I applaud that. I totally support the efforts. So you should be grabbing some of those and not thinking that they're inadequate or that you're just a cheapskate. Definitely be using them.
Well, let's squeeze in one question from Twitter. Alistair wants to know whether you have advice on how they may approach their teenager about contraception. That's a very good question.
Contraception, I like the term, because condom is about contraception. Talk about sexuality, as Sammy was saying. The issue is around talking about sexuality. Please do not just hand out condoms to your child. It's either going to make him or her feel, now that means mom and dad is saying, you know, I give you permission to go and be sexual, or why haven't you been sexual yet? Do not do that out of context. You want to have a discussion around sexuality. And in that discussion, and everybody knows who listens to me, that it isn't just about reproductive health and prevention and protection, preventing diseases and protecting against unintended pregnancies. Mm. It's about your values, absolutely, about things that you value. And that's where we kind of close the circle today, you see, because we started out talking about trust, that trust is something which is valuable, and sexual health is something which is really separate. And it's very important that sexual health is an integral part of your life and what that means. I read an article this week around how we don't talk to teenagers about love. And I feel so, you know, feel so attached to that concept, is that we're not talking to them about their relationships. And it starts off from very young about the values that you have in friends that you're going to choose, the trust, the likability of it, the people who work for you, don't work for you, support you from very young. So include, be as inclusive as you possibly can when you are talking about sexuality, and don't make contraception. Please do not make contraception the only discussion your child ever gets.
Absolutely. Dr. Eve, thank you for a beautiful conversation as always. We'll do it again next week.
Look forward. Bye.